Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, he said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." The parallel account in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 is, "Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." When Paul and Barnabas had finished their first missionary journey, we read in Acts chapter 14 that they came back to the home base, the home church that had sent them out, Antioch. The Bible says that when they were come, they gathered the church together and they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Of course, the word Gentiles means nations. And so God wants the gospel to go to all nations, and we're thankful to be able to talk to you tonight about our recent trip down to the countries of Guyana and Suriname and the spreading of the gospel there and the Lord's church as it's doing its work there. And so we traveled down to this area in South America, just north of the equator, leaving familiar territory for me. He's been down there several times, but I've never been to Guyana before. As you can see here, you have Guyana and Suriname, and Georgetown was the capital city we went to first, and we landed in, spent a week there on the coast, a little bit west of Georgetown, and then we went over to Paramaribo, which is the capital city of Suriname, and spent most of our time in there. We did take one day going into the interior. Now, most people in these places are, there is a good portion of Christians, but there are also Muslims and Hindus. And what we're going to do is, as we go through these pictures, Nathan and I are both going to kind of talk and tell you details about each one. We figured that was the best way. But here is something that caught my attention. Near where we were in Anna Regina in Georgetown was a Muslim school. And I don't know how well you can see it, but it's the Al-Madina Islamic Academy. And I would say that it's good because it is shut down. It's not an operation. Here is a statue that is a Hindu god and another Hindu goddess. And so there are significant portions of the population that are Muslim, that are Hindu, and there are several people that, at least nominally speaking, are Christians. But the gospel is needed there just as much as it's needed here. So Nathan can kind of take you through what we do. It takes about a day to get into where we get into in Guyana, because it's not, we don't spend the whole time in Georgetown in the capital city. We have to kind of ferry a boat. So I'll let him tell you a little bit about that. Here's where we do that. So
once we get to Guyana and we spend the night, we get up early in the next morning, and then we have to catch a boat that goes across a large delta, the Essequibo Coast. And the Essequibo Coast is a river, and nonetheless, we got to travel a long ways to get to where we're going. And so instead of taking these speed boats, we took a slow boat because Muhammad Ali and his wife pick us up, and they come to the capital city in a car. Muhammad has a car, and so he can drive his car up on there, and it makes it really nice, because in the past, we'd always have to hire someone to come and get us, and it's economical. It's actually cheaper to pay him to come and get us than to hire someone and come and get us. So this is the boat. We are on a boat identical to that boat right there. These two boats are sisters or whatever, and they cross each other. They pass one another. It's about a two-hour trip, so when one leaves, they both leave, and they both go to the other opposite sides of the river.
They run about three times a day, so you have to line up a few hours ahead of time to make sure you get on the boat, and we usually try to get the noon boat, because if you miss it, then you try to get the 4 o'clock boat.
So. Right here, we are fresh and ready, okay? We are just getting ready to go, and I've been to Guyana enough times that I almost always run into somebody that I know. I did not know this fellow, but his name's Liebert. And I did know his wife, and I did know his children, and I baptized two of his children. He is not a member of the church, but his children are. He was on the boat when we were traveling over there, so just a happy coincidence that we got to spend a couple hours sitting there talking to him.
He's a builder too, so they had.
Yes, he travels back and forth to several of the islands in the Caribbean building buildings, and that's what he does for a living.
There's one of our first Bible studies we had in Guyana, and you see Nathan there on the right doing a fine job talking about Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, and the boy on the left is Akeem. He had been away for a little bit going to school studying refrigeration, but he had just moved back 2 weeks before we came, and he was ripe, wanted to obey the gospel, and so we were privileged to be able to baptize him into Christ.
You'll notice in this picture that the water's black. It's nice. That's the good water. Later on, we'll show you some pictures of the water's brown. It's not near as nice. The church at Richmond has been there for quite a while. The church has been there probably about 25 years plus, but I'm not sure exactly what year, but I think it was around 2000. The church was able to purchase this place, and the preacher, Muhammad Ali, which has been here about 3 years ago, he was here with my family and I. And here's a picture of him. He's a little short fellow, if you might possibly remember him, but that's Muhammad. And
this is not the one from the Muhammad Ali from Louisville. Just disambiguation there. This is the on the right. You see the view of from his bedroom at the top. But he lives on the top of that, and then below is the church building, and that's Brother Nathan doing Bible class, and people are still shuffling in during Bible class. So there's some things that don't change anywhere you go. But
we might have mentioned this before in the past. Muhammad grew up in a Muslim family. He converted to the Baptist faith for about 2 or 3 years. He went actually studied in a Baptist seminary or some kind of a school. But then later on in his studies, he became a member of the Church of Christ. He became a Christian, and so. He's a pretty zealous fella, and he's been working with the congregation at Richmond since 1999. And this is a family that I have known for a long time, and this sister Obermuller is the lady is sitting down, and this is her daughter and two of her grandchildren. And this is another one of her daughters and three of her grandchildren, and all these people are members of the church.
I wanted to mention back when Nathan was doing this preaching here in the evenings, Brother Muhammad has a rare privilege of being able to go in and do devotionals with the local technical school at their dorms. So there's a dorm mom and at one location in a dorm. Father at another location, that on Thursday night and Friday night, he's allowed to come in and talk to them about the Bible. So he brought me along while Nathan was preaching in the evenings there at the Richmond Church of Christ. I went into the technical school, and the first night, Thursday night, we talked about the Lord's church and walking in wisdom according to Ephesians 5. And there were about 45, 18 to 22-year-olds. We were talking to college-age kids, and I wish I had a picture of them, but I, really enjoyed spending time with them. And then the next night, I went to another dorm, and that was just guys. The first night was there were both guys and girls in that, obviously separated, but they came together for that dorm devotional. And so the next night, I spoke to about 25 young men. They were very well. Very receptive of me talking, and I talked to them about Joseph and how Jesus ultimately is the greatest example and that we should follow him. And so just particular things that would help them at their age and stage in life.
This is at another congregation, a different church building. This is at what I call the sand pit, but it's actually called Onderneming. But nonetheless, they have a relatively newer building. The other building they had, the termites ate it, and so they built them a concrete building. Termites are a big problem in Guyana.
Muhammad also is the regular preacher here. So he preaches at Richmond, and then in the afternoon he will go to Onderneming and preach there.
Now that Brother Mark has got his feet wet, and maybe on the next trip we might be able to separate and go in two different locations at the same time. And we did, you know, a little bit of that on this trip, but, you know, there's plenty of places and plenty of people interested in the gospel. This is Brother Dash. He is one of the oldest members of the congregation, and he's pretty much the man in charge of the grounds. He sweeps the floor and takes care of the church building, and I'm pretty sure he prepares the Lord's Supper too.
I know some of you donated little toys, and I was able to pack those in my my check bag, and I was able to hand them out to some of the kids that we had Bible studies with, and here I am handing them out to some of the children. So thank you for those.
This little congregation is a very I'm not sure exactly how to put it, but there's almost always new faces here. It's a really poor community, and people come in, and as soon as they're able to find the money or the means to leave, they do. And so, but nonetheless, there's still about a handful of people that are always there, but there's always new faces at the Sand Pit congregation.
Here are some creatures. We did not preach the gospel to these creatures, but this is I don't know how well you can see it. This is a salapinter, bigger than a salamander. So his body's right along here. And then here's one that Nathan took.
You can't tell from the picture, but this fella, he's about that long, you know. They eat chickens. I don't think they're too much to be worried about other than that.
So Nathan caught him and put him in the stew. I'm just joking. No, this is one of Nathan's favorite dishes. What is it called?
I don't know what the dish was called, but the pot, I know what the pot's called.
Oh, what's that called? Put you on the spot.
Yes,
this was
did.
At the house of another man named Muhammad, who was actually over the immigration for Guyana. It was his 38th birthday. This is at his mother's house. I was thankful that we were invited to go there, and we were about to leave, and the one time it rained, it came a downpour, so we stayed a little bit, got to know Muhammad a little better, which was good, because when we came back into Guyana from Suriname, guess who was on duty? And we had an easy time going through immigration, because the boss man took us right to the front, and they stamped us, and they let us in Guyana, so we were glad to be there.
The pot's called a karahi. I remember what it is.
Oh, yeah.
This fella here is cutting meat in an open market, and there's plenty of this always in Guyana, and I'm sure in all these third world countries, that's normal. No refrigeration, just chop, chop, okay? On Friday was the day that we were Monday. That's market day at this particular town, charity, and we left the first place we were at, Richmond, and we're headed to another place where Herman, he's the fellow with the green shirt in the middle between Muhammad and myself. Brother Herman, he's a preacher there. And the place where he is a preacher is only accessible by boat. And so charity is at the end of the road. And then from there, you get in a boat to go wherever you go. And it was market day that day. And they were selling beef. They were selling coconuts. Yeah. It's a horde of people, hundreds of people. But all the farmers and everybody diverges in this one place on Monday, which is market day.
And there are two congregations of the Lord's Church in charity. We'll show you the oldest member of one of those here in a little bit. I'd never been to a place like this before in my life. Going out to Strong Hope, these people live on a canal. And this is us going into the canal. And everybody, in order to get to your neighbor's house, you get on the boat and you go down. There's no, like, walking over there. You just have to get on the boat and go through the canal. So we stayed with Brother David and Sister Edith, They're a couple that lives a couple doors down from the church building at Strong Hope. This is their house, and this is where we stayed. On the left here, in the green and white striped shirt, that's Brother David. And so we stayed at his house. Brother Herman is the preacher there at Strong Hope, but he lives kind of near where Muhammad does. And so he drives, he has to fix up his little motorbike when it gets kind of not running well. And so he does that, and he gets in into charity, and then he takes his boat out every Sunday to preach out at Strong Hope. And so he's the one, the letter that I read, he's a very humble man, very good man, and he's doing a good work there. We went and did Bible studies all along that canal, and he had a very sincere plea with people to obey the gospel or to come back, and they knew that he cared about them. He had been there several times talking to all these people, and so he's doing a great work. This man on the right is Brother Basil. He is the oldest member of one of those congregations in charity, and so he was he met us that day. This was actually on the way back. So there's Brother David driving Nathan, and we had to pick up some supplies, get some rice. That's Greg Hall's hat that came in handy, especially with the strap so it wouldn't fall. I was joking with Sister Edith that I was going to take her picture while she was eating on the floor. She said, okay, just make sure I'm mid-bite when you take it. So that's that's her and the other ladies that cooked up the rice for us. It's another picture of her in the kitchen there, the house we stayed.
There's no electricity here. There's no running water here. But it was still pretty comfortable, and so we enjoyed our stay there. There was almost no mosquitoes on this trip, which I don't know how that happened, but I was thankful. I think I've seen maybe two or three mosquitoes in 2 weeks, so that's unheard of for Guyana.
So this is where we were bathing out of the bucket, and but we had good time there. These two men you see, these are Brother David and Sister Edith's sons. The one on the left is Tristan, and the one on the right is David Jr. And we studied with their wives. They've both married wives, and they have children, young children. And they grow things in, around where they are, and harvest them, coconuts and other things like that. And then they bring them into charity and sell them. And so they're building a stand, a stand to sell their goods, their fruit. And so you see the chainsaw there. Tristan has that. They're cutting that piece of wood, and David Jr. is holding it for them. Here's some people counting the coconuts. The person that cuts them counts them. The person puts them in the boat counts them. The person that throws them in the truck counts them. So they get counted several times. And every 100, they set one aside to keep track of what they're doing. Here's Brother David harvesting some of his produce that he then takes to market to sell. And so that's how they make their living out there. So they're very good people. They're very humble people. Hardworking people, and they would work all day, and then they get this, they'd invite Nathan and I to both preach. Nathan preach about half an hour, and then they say, okay, Mark, you preach. So they were ready till about 11 o'clock at night. They were ready. We didn't even go to 11 o'clock at night. So if you complain about how long we go, well, I'm sorry to tell you, these people, they were ready after a hard day's work. This is all of them going home after they'd heard two preachers. Two preachers were exhausted, and they listened to us all. So, David Jr. is here with his wife, Renasha, and their two daughters. I was able to study with Renasha. She was not yet a member of the church, but obviously her family influenced her as well. And so I was able to, their house is right next to the church building there. That's the Strong Hope church building, the outside of it you see. And their house is right next door. And I was able to baptize her. And that's the muddy water. I don't know if any of you American women would get in that, but she was baptized nonetheless. Here's David Jr. with his youngest, and that's their other daughter. And that's the view from the veranda where we slept. So Sister Edith's brother lives a couple doors down on the canal, and we encouraged him to come back. He'd been unfaithful. His name is Cyril, and so he came back to the meeting both nights, and hopefully he'll stay faithful. And Brother Nathan had a study with Marissa, which is Tristan's wife.
Right.
And was able to baptize her into Christ. Here's the veranda where we slept at night. And then here's Brother Herman. As you see, he picks everybody up, takes them to the church building. Here is the power source for the church building at night. So you have to preach over the gas generator. And, of course, you have to pick up supplies and everything.
I like it when they use the oil gas lamps. They don't make any noise, but I don't know. I guess they figured that the generator's more sophisticated, but it makes too much noise.
Yeah. So we had to kind of speak over that. This is before everybody got there. We told everybody, we were going up and down that canal, we said 6 o'clock. And this is about 7 o'clock here. And I think everybody finally showed up about 7:25. But then they were ready to stay for 2 sermons. So, you know, they get their work done in the cool of the day, and they're not exact on the time, but they'll get there and they'll listen to you. So this was up the river. We then went down the river past Charity down south, and we went to this place called Jacklow. And Nathan can tell you a little bit about it. That's where Sister Maria lives.
Maria is she's an elderly lady now. She owns a farm there, and she's given it over to her daughter. And they're friends from a long ways back, so I try to make a point to go and visit them. And we went to their house, and there was a lot more than just her, but there were also other members of the church there. And her daughter has donated a piece of land, this piece of ground right here in this picture, to build a church building. Church currently meets on the other side of the river, right from across from here, and it's in a lean-to, and it's basically just a shed with a lean-to roof on it. And so this congregation, they have a preacher. His name is Chris. He's a native fella. I don't know Chris very well, but he's been there for a good while, at least 7 or 8 years as far. And so we talked to them and encouraged them. I wish that I'd had the tools and the time, but they definitely could use some experience, somebody to help them build a building there. And
Sister Maria told me that there are enough children right there on the river that come that they could have almost 40 children in Sunday school, but they don't really have the room. This is the ladies there. This place is called Jacklow, where she lives. So we had duck curry there, and that's me stirring the duck curry.
If you have ever had curry, it's just an Indian food, and everything's curry, whether it's chicken, duck, pork, beef, whatever it is. And anyways,
this little fellow down here, his name is Noah. So kind of reminded me of home.
While I was there, after we left on our way out of Guyana back to the capital city to catch an airplane to go to Suriname, I had the opportunity to visit with a young lady and her children. Her name is Maggie Marks. And my wife and I, several years ago, we made an effort to adopt this young lady when she was 9 years old. And it didn't work out, but she's doing well. She's well adjusted. She has 2 young daughters, and Mark and I were able to visit with them and have we read a Bible story in the New Testament and tried to encourage her. I baptized her about 10 years ago when she was still living with Brother Muhammad Ali. She lived with him for a couple years. Muhammad and his wife Judith took her in for a while. And now that she's out on her own, she's married to a Muslim, so it's difficult for her. She's not actually married. She's living with a Muslim man. And, you know, it's difficult for these ladies in foreign countries. But nonetheless, she's an intelligent young lady, and she's doing well for herself. Her and her husband own a grocery store. We keep saying it's her husband, but anyways, there's no Church of Christ in the area. So I encourage her, and hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens. But I haven't seen her in at least 10 years, and I did the last time I seen her, she had no children. Now she has a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. So that was a treat for me to get to see her and her children.
Hey, you guys ready to go to Suriname? This is Brother Damprasan Ramkelawan's house. He's one of the ones that we support, one of our mission points. This is his house.
He lives on the bottom half of this house. He doesn't own it.
Yeah.
He rents this.
He rents this apartment. So the top half is somebody else's, but the bottom you see. And this is where his parents live, and it has a big front room where the church meets. It's the Wanakustrat Church of Christ. You notice where Guyana at least was English-speaking, they might have a thick accent, but at least they're speaking English. The official language of Suriname is Dutch. So everything ends with Strat for a street. This is Brother Don and his mother, Amita. His father, Lachman, is in the blue there. His job is to mend nets. I don't know if you can see him very well. This is him. And these are all nets here that they're mending. And I told Lachman about Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, when it tells us to restore a brother. That Greek word is used a lot of time of mending nets. So said I might preach on that sometime and mention him. Paramaribo, where he lives, as you can see, is much more developed than where we were in Guyana. But you know that there are about 250,000 people that live in Paramaribo. Most of the people in Suriname are in that big city. The people in the interior, they're few and far between. Guyana has more people than Suriname, but a lot of the people are concentrated places like Paramaribo. So Brother Don is working in that capital city, and there are three congregations that he knows of in that area. But there's still big swaths of the city that don't have any congregations. There are some people that come to church there that have to drive about 45 minutes to get to church. So here's the gospel meeting flyer, and Nathan and I with Amita. We went door knocking. When you're in Guyana and you come up to a house, instead of saying anybody home, you say inside. But in Suriname, you say clop, clop. I guess that's doing this. And I gave all my flyers out first, so I guess I won. But I don't think I really won, because every house I went to, the person did not speak English. They spoke Dutch. So I was trying the best I could, and then I had to have Brother Don help me. I studied with Rishab, and he's a 14-year-old boy that decided to be baptized. So Don baptized him. This is his sister and his mother and his father taking pictures of him. You know, Nathan and I thought there'd be no thing like this, like a swimming pool, within 1,000 miles of Guyana. But they are more developed there in Paramaribo.
This young fella, I can't remember his first name, but he's a member of the church. He lives in an orphanage in Paramaribo, in the town. But anyways, seemed like he was a quiet fella, but I was glad to see him, and just one of the members of the congregation we met there.
This is Brother Don here, and then a couple years ago he married this lady. Asha is her name. Asha's former husband died of poisoning. He sprayed plants and stuff, and so he died, and Brother Don did the funeral. And then a few years later, Asha's daughter was bitten by a snake and was in the hospital at Paramaribo for months. So eventually, after visiting with them and they didn't know them very well, and then they thought she might die or lose her leg or something, eventually they then started, Don and Asha started dating, and they married a couple years ago. So here's their daughter, Shania, and she's 10. And so Brother Don and Sister Asha, Don's mother, Amita, were visiting with this lady. Her name's Sister Betty, and she's in the nursing home there. And she loves to sing songs, and I think she would have sung songs as long as we would have stayed. So,
they have nursing homes in Suriname, which I do not think they have in Guyana. So I was kind of surprised by that.
Here's one of the members of the Wanakustak congregation. This man's name is Mustafa, and this is his wife. He's a builder. She's a school teacher. This is their son. Another picture of them. Brother Don drove us out to their house late one night. We had dinner with them. So Shania, ready to go to school in the morning, all dressed, and we're ready to go to our Bible study. So this is a picture of the congregation at Wanakustrat. This is after morning service when they are passing out. We're all done and they're passing out cook-up. They're having a lunch. That's what it looked like when I got up to preach the first night there of the gospel meeting. That's the look of everybody as I'm about to preach. I had to have Brother Don translate into Dutch. So it took twice as long. So,
and I'm not real sure if it was Dutch or talkie-talkie.
Yeah. We had people we studied with that talkie-talkie, Dutch, and then one lady here, this lady here, Nika, she spoke Portuguese. She's from Brazil. But she decided to be baptized. Hartley decided to be baptized. He was he's Surinamese. And then Eddie Narine, who's right here, he speaks Dutch, and we had a Bible study with him and baptized him as well. This guy over here, we visited with him, tried to set up a Bible study with him, but he is a member of the church there, but he's just going through some problems right now. His name is Fabian. Here's after one of the baptisms that evening, the group that went out there. Had a lot of Bible studies. Not everybody responded. There were some people that just...
On this one street here, we had met with several people, and we had like... the first day we were there, we had three Bible studies the first time we were there, and some of those people came to church. I think three of them did. But anyways... We planted lots of seeds.
Yeah. Okay. We started in the morning. Before we knew it was 4 o'clock, and all we've been doing is studying the Bible with people. So, then we went out to the interior called Pawaka, and here's a sign that says Pawaka Pawaka, which Sister Amita thought was funny. Brother Michelle and Sister Norma, this is their house. The church at Pawaka presently meets at their house, but just near this. They've cut in a place in the wilderness there that they're building a building. And this is the new building under construction for the Pawaka Church of Christ. About 60 people assemble here for worship. Here's Brother Michelle and Sister Norma. There's Brother Michelle talking to Brother Don about the construction and how things are going. We also visited this guy. I can't remember how to pronounce his name, but people call him the Juggernaut. He grows everything under the sun there, and I don't think I could do as well as him. I think I'd do better at growing, though, if it was 90 degrees year-round. But he grows cabbage, cauliflower, peppers, you name it.
Sweet potatoes, lots of stuff.
He goes to the Dutch-speaking congregation in town, and here are some of the Dutch-speaking brethren. It's a small group, but... they are all Dutch-speaking. So,
this group of ladies here are the ones we had a Bible study with in earlier in the week. I think that was...
This is Ravina. This is her house, and she invited all these people to come. This is her daughter. This is Hartley. We studied with him, and he decided to obey the gospel, was baptized. This is Nika. I studied with her, and she decided to be baptized. This lady...
Her name was Claudia.
she had never been baptized, but we couldn't convince her to, Carol was her name.
Carol was her name. So, when Brother Mark was feeling under the weather and wasn't able to get out, I went back to this particular place because they said they would be all right for us to come. So we were hoping that on the second time, you know, we could make a little headway and maybe some of them would be converted. But they have a lot of ideas, and there's lots of other, you know, religions and teaching different things, just like there are here. And so we had a long, I had a long Bible study with them while Brother Mark was back feeling bad. He wanted to go, but I said, no, you can't. You're going to have to stay and rest. But at any rate, the ladies had a lot of questions. Brother Don and I went, and so we're hoping that Brother Don, he has been invited to go back to this place on a monthly basis and have an in-home Bible study with any of the people in this area that wants to come. And I think he'll do good. I think that if he keeps going back, I do believe that there will be some more people being added to the church because they're hungry. They're just really confused because they got lots of ideas from different people on things. But so hopefully that'll work out for the best.
It's a new thing we ate here, rambutan.
Rambutan. We ate a lot. I eat lots of fruit when I'm in these places, and this was a... Tanner says we've ate this before, but I didn't remember it. If we did, it wasn't near as good as this time. But anyways, there's all kinds of fruit to eat, 15 or 20 different kinds, and so you never know what's going to be ripe when you go down.
Brother Don, when he was younger, I think broke his leg climbing a rambutan tree, so he had a good story about that. Here's a chicken curry, and this is a pepper that I ate called Madame Chinette, and it burnt me up. So I went out and got a Klondike bar. This is a whole plate of garlic.
I took this picture because, they don't realize it, but they really spice their food serious. So I asked...
Those are potatoes. That's garlic. That's all garlic.
I asked Asha how, you know, what she was going to do with all that, and she said she was just getting it ready for in the future. And I think, yeah, that's about two or three meals probably.
So I don't know why I got sick, but you know what? I'll let Nathan close us out here then.
This is the last picture we got. The particular picture here is... there's lots of animals. You see a lot of animals, and they're different than what we have here. This particular picture is sheep. But when we first saw them, Brother Mark wanted to know if they were goats. I said, no, they're not. They're not goats. They're sheep. And so in these tropical places, lots of the sheep have black hair, and it's short. They don't have wool. They have hair. And it reminds us of the fact that Jesus is the good shepherd, and someday there will be a judgment, and he'll separate the sheep from the goats. And so we're going to offer an invitation. We know that you've seen several pictures of us baptizing people, and that is very important to us that we have conversions, because we as members of the church, we understand that when a person is baptized, that their sins are washed away, that they are entering into the kingdom. And that's one of the things that many people get hung up on, especially those ladies we were studying with. They have a really difficult, it's very difficult. And so, but nonetheless, we recognize that when a person is baptized for the Bible reason, for the washing away of their sins, they become a Christian, they become a member of the church. And so, seven souls were baptized on this trip, and we're grateful for that. And we teach the gospel, we baptize, and we want to continue to teach. We're going to offer an invitation tonight because we recognize that someday Jesus is going to come and separate the sheep from the goats. And sometimes it's difficult to determine who's a sheep and who's a goat. But Jesus can, and I think with a proper understanding of the Bible, we can understand who will be and who will not be saved. It's ultimately God's decision, but we can know that on the judgment day, Jesus will do that. Matthew 25, verse 32, it says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides a sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." And so we offer an invitation to anyone here tonight that is not a Christian. If you'd like to become a Christian, a child of God, you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you want to repent of your sins and confess his name and be baptized for the remission of your sins, we would encourage you to do that. If you're a Christian tonight and you haven't been using your talents wisely and you need prayers, maybe there's something that you have a request, we would try to do our best in service to you as well. Brother Bill Mead, a good friend of mine, passed away last week, and he's the one that introduced me to missionary work a good long time ago. And there's one thing that he told me, and he said, even if you have one talent, take that one talent and use it to the best of your ability. And so we want to use our talents as best we can, and we want to be Christians. One of the ladies that we studied with there at that one place, she was not a Christian. She gathered a lot of people into her home, and I think she wanted to encourage people to come and study with us, but herself was not a Christian. And if she would become a Christian, I think a lot of other people would be too. And so that is one of the things that we can do, is take care of ourselves and obey the gospel ourselves, lead by example. So if you're not a Christian tonight, we encourage you to become one, because you could lead others to Christ yourself. And so we're going to stand and sing. If anybody has any requests, please step to the front as we stand and sing.
Servant, Lord, make me like you, for you are a servant. Make me one too. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you. Make me a servant, Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant, make me one too. Make me a servant, do what you must do to make me a servant, make me like you.
Please be seated.